Good morning and welcome to Little Swatara Church of the Brethren. We are so excited to have the preschoolers with us this morning to share in song later on in our worship service. We'd like to welcome all of the preschool families, the friends and relatives. It's an honor to have you here and joining us. And if you don't already have a church home, we'd be willing to welcome you into our family here at Little Swatara. Think about it, consider it prayerfully. At this point, just some announcements that we have. I have an announcement. Paul Swigert asks that if anyone is interested in picking up a poster to help advertise the truck, tractor, car, and motorcycle show that takes place here on June 17th, there are posters back in the narthex. Please pick them up and put them around the community. This is a community activity, an event, and we want to welcome everyone to join us for that day. Also, we're in need of volunteers to help with the children's games for that day. We're looking for 3 or 4 volunteers. If you're willing to volunteer, contact Sarah or Greg Bryant. Another announcement is there will be no senior choir practice this week on Thursday, but senior choir will rehearse the following week. And the worship planning meeting for Tuesday evening this week has been canceled. Okay. Are there any other announcements that anyone has that they'd like to share? Beryl. Thanks. Okay. So please remember to fill out your call slates. It is important. It's our way of calling members to our leadership positions here in the congregation, members and regular attenders. So those are a green sheet, and there is a box in the narthex for those things. Any other announcements that anyone has? I would also like at this time to just share with you that in the back of the sanctuary, it would be your left-hand side or the choir side, there's a room back there that we call our prayer room. That room is there and available to people at any time during the worship service or after the service. If you just feel that need for some quietness or to have prayer, there are deacons available to meet with you. Feel free to utilize that room and feel free to comfortably get up and walk back. No one will think of anything of you doing that during the worship service if there's a time where you feel led to prayer. At this point, please rise and join us as we open in our first song, What a Fellowship, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. The words will be on the screen for you.
Thank you.
may be seated.
The most incredible opportunity we have each day of our lives is to approach God in prayer, and He accepts our prayers and responds to our prayers. So there'll be a microphone coming around. If anyone has a joy or a concern to share, we'd love to hear from you. And in our bulletin, you'll see our prayer concerns. We ask you to keep near to you throughout the week and keep those individuals in prayer.
Pastor Matt, I just want to say what a joy it is today to be at Preschool Sunday. This is one of the highlights of my year because I get to see all the children that Cindy works with throughout the year and what the teachers have done. But it is truly a blessing that the Little Sitara Church has provided for the children and for the community, and I just think it's a terrific joy and for this Sunday.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your mercies that are new each day. And we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing your presence is here among us. We know how very much you love each and every single one of us, no matter our past, no matter our present. Your love is evident. And we are so thankful for the cross, so thankful for the empty tomb. And we are so thankful for the opportunity to know you personally, that you have provided a way for salvation, that one day as we enter our kingdom eternal, we can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But Father, we know that we are here for such a time as this. And we pray, Father, as you're upon each of us, as your Spirit guides us, you would lead us, Father, to those opportunities that you set forth before us, that our mouths would not be closed, but we would open them to share the good news, the stories that you have written upon our hearts. And we thank you, God, for the way that you move in our midst. We do thank you, Father, for Preschool Sunday. We thank you for every family, every friend, every relative that is here this morning, and just ask your abundant blessing upon them. Father, may they know you deeper and deeper as we celebrate this day, a very special day in the life of our church. And we just thank you for each one and just ask, Father, that you would be near to them. We think of those on our prayer concerns this morning and lift up Rufus and Dorothy and Ruth and John and Carl and Faye and Earl and Carol and Pete and Lugva and Esther and Denise and Tim and Jane and Bonnie and others, Father, that come to our mind even now. We know that you are the master physician, and we know, Father, that your healing is upon all those who ask, and we don't always understand the way your healing takes place, but Father, if it be physical, we pray that that physical healing would take place in the lives of those needing your special touch. But Father, we just pray each and every day we would find contentment in you, for we know, Father, your love is poured out upon us all the time, and we are just ever so thankful for that. So we just take pause right now, Father, and not only thank you, but we also pray for forgiveness of those sins we've committed this week, even this day, and ask, Father, that you would allow us to continually grow into you and grow to know you more and more. So, Father, hear the prayers of our hearts and also our prayers of confession. Father, you lead us, you guide us, you direct us every day of our lives. We thank you, Father, that you knew us before we were even born in our mother's womb. We thank you, Father, that you know the hairs on our head and they're numbered, the grains of sand, you know how many they are, the stars in the sky, you know them by name, and we are overwhelmed by the greatness of you, God. And we just thank you that we know you personally and have that opportunity to choose to know you. So draw near to us as we continue to worship you this morning, continue to sing praises, and just thank you again, Father, for gathering us here for such a time as this. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to rise as we sing "Count Your Blessings." The words will be on the screen.
Thank you.
seated. We come to our time of offering, and I'd like to share from the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. Remember this, whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, and not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be inside rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. So remember, be a cheerful giver. God supplies all of our needs, and he'll continue to supply our needs each and every day. Will you bow with me for prayer? Oh Lord, we just thank you for the generosity of the gifts that you have given us, and we ask you to use the gifts that we are now bringing forth to you. Use them to increase your community, help us to reach out to those around us, and help us to continue to spread the word of Jesus Christ, that he is our Savior and that by him we have the grace to move on into eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for being such a generous giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite any other children. Come join me up front. Sit over here. We're good. I'm good. Well, I have a mic right here too. Oh, that's true. Hi, boys. Go sit.
Wow. Here comes one.
Got big sprinklers.
Oh my
There's
goodness.
A couple more coming. All right, find a seat. Anywhere.
That's it. Good.
Uh-oh. How many of you guys have ever heard of the book Ripley's Believe It or Not? Hey, we know some people know this. No one knew it at first service. Mr. Ripley wrote this as a comic strip at the beginning. He collected a ton of information about strange and unbelievable things. He first published them as Amazing Facts in newspapers, but they became so popular that he needed to publish them in a book form, and then they made a TV series about this thing. Do you want to hear some examples of these unbelievable things?
Yeah.
Yes? Joanne Barnes, a 15-year-old from California, once swung 68 hula hoops around her body. 68. Can you imagine that? I can't even swing one hula hoop around me, let alone 68. I think I would need to see that to believe it. How about you guys? Yeah?
It would cover me up.
It would cover you up. Yes, it would. How about this one? A man by the name James Cook once had a chicken that laid a perfectly square egg. A square egg. Have you ever seen a square egg?
No.
I've seen oval eggs. I've seen white eggs. I've seen brown eggs. I've seen speckled eggs. I've seen green eggs. But I have never seen a square egg. I think I would need to see that one to believe it. Here's one I bet you didn't know. The world's largest hot dog was 3,000 feet long. 3,000 feet. That's huge. It weighed, yes, that's longer than me too. It weighed 885 pounds. Can you imagine that? It took 103 butchers just to carry this thing. Now, that's a lot of baloney. I don't know if I believe that or not. In fact, this book is filled with so many interesting facts that I think I don't believe any of them, unless I see them. But do you know what? If it's true, it's true, whether you believe it or not. That is very long. On the Sunday that Jesus rose from the grave, he appeared to a group of disciples. One of the disciples' names was Thomas.
Tommy.
Have you guys ever heard of the disciple named Thomas? No? Well, I'm going to tell you about him. When the disciples told Thomas that Jesus had rose from the grave, he didn't believe it. Thomas said, "I won't believe it until I see it with my own eyes. I want to put my finger in the nails of nail prints in his hands and place my hand where the spear was thrust into his side." A week later, Thomas saw Jesus. Do you know what Jesus did? He invited Thomas to touch the nails prints on his hands and put his hand on the spears where the spears were thrusted in on his sides. Do you think Thomas believed it then? Yeah, he believed it. Because you have seen, Jesus said, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe." A lot of people don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave. because they haven't seen it with their own two eyes. They also don't believe that he has rose from the grave. Do you know what? Whether you believe it or not, Jesus did rise from the grave. And we just have to believe it. The question is, do you believe it or will you not? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us accept by faith that Jesus has risen from the grave and that he is alive and he is preparing a place for us in heaven. Help us believe it. It is true, whether we believe it or not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, little Swatara kids, you can go back to your seats. Preschool kids, stay.
I'm going to invite the congregation to join us in singing Jesus Loves the Little Children as the preschoolers will exit with Miss Cindy.
Jesus indeed loves the little children of the world, and he loves his parents and grandparents and friends and family that have gathered here today. Thank you again for being here. Can you imagine what life would be like if it was always what we expected? No surprises, no guessing games, no wondering what's next. Everything happens precisely the way we thought it would. Has anyone ever experienced a day like that before? We'd call it the perfect day. No one? A day that went exactly the way we wanted it to go. When we think about it, it's almost too good to be true. A fairy tale. Just some crazy dream. Something that only happens in a fictional book. Or a day that may be far and few between. One of my favorite assignments has always been describing that perfect day. Would you take a moment, turn to your neighbor, and say one phrase, what describes a perfect day for you? To my 16-year-old daughter, that would simply involve a sunny, clear day with no drama. For others, it might just be a fun and exciting day spending with our family and our friends out of doors, no rain, no critters, no bugs, and a fabulous meal of steak and potatoes. No matter what our perfect day looks like, there comes a time when all things will be made new for all eternity. Not a day, not a week, not a month, not even a year, forever. For all time, the former things will pass away and all things will be made new. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Friends, our dreams come true. Our so-called fantasy becomes reality. What we've always wanted will be right before us. Our dedication, our commitment to following Christ, our surrender daily, our praying fervently, having faith and believing in what we've never seen firsthand will result in a place we find perfection. A place in the presence of our Lord and Savior forever. The Bible tells us that heaven is God's throne. It was after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared on earth to his disciples. And in Mark 16:19, it reads this: he was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Hebrews 9:24, Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Friends, Jesus not only went before us, entering on our behalf, but he is alive and has a present ministry in heaven. You see, he serves as our high priest in the true tabernacle made by God. If you don't believe anything I'm saying, turn to Hebrews 6:19 to 20 and 8:1 and 2, and you'll find all that information right there. But we're also, and this is exciting, friends, we're also told by Jesus himself there are many rooms in God's house and that he has gone before us to prepare a place for us. If you've never felt a warm, fuzzy feeling before, the moment is now. We have the assurance in John that he will one day come back to earth and take us to where he is. Friends, this isn't some made-up belief in an eternal home in heaven. We're not dreaming. We're not hoping for nothing. An eternal heaven is based on an explicit promise of Jesus. Friends, if you've ever been looking for comfort, if you've ever been longing for solace, it's knowing that this place is most definitely real. Randy Alcorn has an incredible book called Heaven. And he writes this: when people deny the existence of heaven, they deny not only the written word of God, but they also deny the innermost longings of their own hearts. Now, many of you may not have ever heard of Selena Gomez, but she has a song that actually gets it right. It says, "The heart wants what it wants." You see, the heart longs for heaven. Paul goes on and addresses this issue in his letter to the Corinthians. He encourages them and he encourages us to cling to the hope of heaven so that they would not lose heart. But friends, the reality is this: we will groan, we will sigh, we will complain in this earthly state. But friends, we always have the hope of heaven before us. There's this eagerness within us to get there. So the key to life, the key to finding contentment, is looking forward to our eternal home. It's the only perspective, the only outlook that enables us to endure hardships and disappointments in this life. As 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 reads, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Friends, we know as Romans 1:19 to 30 reads, "God has put in our hearts the knowledge that he exists." But I want us to think about something else this morning. Have we ever considered when life isn't what we expected, the way it affects how we feel, the way we act? We know when life is good, we're good. People around us even notice. We smile, we laugh, We carry on in joy. We spur others on with our words, and the world is a happy place. But then, ugh, that day comes. You know the kind of day I'm talking about. It starts the minute you step out of bed and you think to yourself, I might as well just crawl back under those covers. It's life's challenges that two things can happen. We let it affect us, the way we feel, the way we treat others. Or we put on this happy face, and when acting like nothing's wrong, someone asks us how we are, we're like, fine. But friends, when we're happy or sad, when we're mad or we're glad, when our emotions and actions are connected to our outlook, things change. You see, an outlook is based on assumptions. When we assume life is out to get us, nothing will ever go right, guess what's going to happen? Turn to your neighbor and say, life's going to get us every time. But if our outlook is based on an expected future, life will have extensive joy. Now, here's what I mean. We can expect certain things in life. Based on what we expect, it's more than likely what we'll conceive. As preschoolers and students, we expect to have fun while learning. And let me tell you, I can testify these kids are having a blast. The smiles, the laughter is so warming to our hearts. And then, as young adults, we expect our purpose in life to begin to unfold. We've completed college, a technical school. We've had certain skills that have prepared us for an expected future. You study to be a teacher, you expect to be a teacher. Life continues. Our expectations develop into marriage, buying that first home, having kids, and then further along, perhaps retiring and grandkids. What we don't expect is the sudden change in health, a loss of job, any unexpected twist or turn to what we call our expected life. It's as if God's telling us we should expect the unexpected. It's easy in those times to be filled with anxiety, to even become depressed. It's even more possible to turn to addictions and lose hope things will ever be the way we anticipated. So this morning, I just want to get a bit personal with you. Many of you know me well enough that I'm authentic. You get what you see, and I am who God made me to be. There's no use being anyone else. So this is my story. I'm fresh out of college, getting married to the love of my life. A bit over 2 months after we get married, the announcement comes of our first child. Now remember, outlooks are everything. I'm the type of guy who needs to take a drive to process what's happening. I returned home and realized life couldn't get any better. We'd talked about a family, and now it's happening right before us. Well, 9 months pass. Abigail May Lynn is born. Not an ordinary birth. The umbilical cord is wrapped around her neck 3 times. She has an infection in her lungs, and she's rushed off to the NICU. And all I remember my wife saying is, don't let her out of your sight. Suddenly, my life is what I didn't expect. Many of you can relate with illnesses of loved ones, and your outlook becomes everything. We spend a week in the Ronald McDonald House while our new baby is being cared for in the NICU. Meanwhile, I'm working in a call center at a bank, and I'm still trying to figure out my own purpose in life, let alone raise a new child. You see, God was wrestling with me to enter ministry. All I knew was I wanted to provide for my family. A year passes. We buy that first home. Abby's doing great. We couldn't be more excited. A great neighborhood, a great place to raise a family. And yet another year passes and another announcement. A bouncing baby boy will make his way to our lives. That's when life gets interesting. God won't stop wrestling me. We know I'm not going to win. So we pray some more and surrender to a call as a youth and children's minister. But in the midst of this, our life takes a sudden turn. Denise is diagnosed with MS. We just bought a house. We answer God's call. And now this unexpected illness takes its toll on my wife. Oh, and I forget to mention that when I accepted the call to serve, I said somewhere along the lines in the interview, I'd sell my home and move to Beaver Springs. If you've never heard of Beaver Springs, it was known for abundant drug deals. So right outside our home, we're watching drug deals day by day. In the meantime, our house miraculously sells in record time, but soon we're uprooting our family, moving to a new community. The church family was wonderful there. But Denise, if you know anything about MS, she was in flare 6 times that year. It was only normal to have a flare twice in the spring and in the fall. But the story continues with returning to our home church as a youth and young adult pastor. Seminary begins underway, and 6 years later, after graduating, we adopt LaShane Jackson. And it brings our story to here at Little Swatara, a place where Denise grew up. Friends, we have the reality that we each have a story. God is writing love upon you even now in this moment. But could you even imagine if everything we expected in life came true? Perfect kids, perfect marriage, perfect job, perfect health. I mean, seriously, what kind of life would that be? If everything was expected and it came to pass, we'd quickly become complacent. There'd be no need to grow. There'd be no need to build character, let alone rely on anyone outside of ourselves. We'd simply exist. But thank God, and I do thank God, that we don't always get what we expected. And even more so, we don't get what we deserve. God is indeed just. But in his love, in his desire for relationship with us, he spares us the punishment that his only son takes for us on the cross. And the empty tomb defines that opportunity for us to choose to be a follower of Christ. And we know as we do so, heaven awaits. I was curious what my 8-year-old son would say about heaven. And he says it means happiness. It means seeing Jesus. He couldn't be more right. Scripture tells us in Revelation 21, 4 and 26, there'll be no more. No more tears, no more pain, and no more sorrow. There'll be no more separation because death will be conquered. 1 John 3, 2, heaven is the presence of our Lord and Savior. Friends, we'll be face to face with the Lamb of God, who loved us and sacrificed himself so that we could enjoy his presence. As believers in Christ, we have the greatest, the most wonderful expectation of all. And as Hebrews 12:2 defines our outlook, may it be so from this day forward. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, when this life is over, when we clock in for the final time, take our final breath, we as believers will spend eternity with God in heaven. Along life's journey, we can expect that God will go with us. That personal relationship means so much. And my prayer this day is that we have that eternal outlook of the future glory of our eternal home that will motivate us to serve God faithfully and with all of our hearts, all the days of our lives, to love each other well. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to know you. We know, Father, that the tomb is empty. We know that our sins are forgiven through the cross. But, Father, we know that you give us a choice. We have free will. And so, Father, we just come before you this day. You know our lives. You know the path that we have been traveling. But, Father, apart from you, there is no hope of eternity. So we just pray, Father, for each heart represented here today, that it would come to know you, that it would confess that they are a sinner and accept you as their Lord and Savior. And we know, Father, your eternal glory is beyond any joy or happiness we may find in this life. So, Father, give us that eternal outlook. Help us to know our future glory of our eternal home. And it's in Jesus' most precious name that we pray. Amen.
please rise and join in singing when we all get to heaven. The words will be on the screen.
Hashtag Jesus wins. Death is defeated. Our sins are forgiven. We live victoriously, knowing as we praise our Savior, live each day for Him, surrendered daily. Heaven awaits. What a day. What a day of rejoicing that will be. Go in peace. Know Jesus. Know love. Love others well. Amen.